Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for August 26th, 2014. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm talking with Al Singer, Gil Katz, and Leonid Pobozinski about a microRNA that plays a role in the survival of T cells. T cells are part of the adaptive immune system, and there are different subtypes of T cells that play distinct roles in fighting infections. Most T cells are generated in the thymus from immature cells called thymocytes. They take on characteristics of mature T cells before leaving the thymus and traveling all around the body through the blood and lymphatic vessels. Signaling through both the T cell receptor and the interleukin-7 receptor is required for proper development of the different subtypes of T cells in the thymus. And after they've matured and entered the periphery, T cells require signaling through both the T cell receptor and the interleukin-7 receptor to keep them alive. Although signaling through both of these receptors is required for T-cell survival, constant signaling through the interleukin-7 receptor kills T-cells. One of the functions of T-cell receptor signaling is to intermittently inhibit the interleukin-7 receptor signaling that's toxic to T-cells. A study from Al Singer's group at the National Institutes of Health has identified a microRNA that's induced by T-cell receptor activation and inhibits interleukin-7 receptor signaling by reducing the abundance of a kinase that transduces signaling downstream of the interleukin-7 receptor. Singer, Katz, and Pobozinski spoke to me from the NIH in Bethesda, Maryland. Hello, Dr. Singer, Dr. Katz, Dr. Pobozinski. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Hello.
Morning.
Good morning.
My first question is for you, Al, about the signaling events that keep T cells alive. T cells require signaling through both the T cell receptor and the interleukin-7 receptor to stay alive, but it isn't simply that those two pathways turn on different sets of genes that are both required for survival. The relationship between these two pathways is more complicated than that. How do those two pathways contribute to T cell survival?
So that's been an issue that's been studied now for close to 15 years. And the answer is only now emerging. Only 1 or 2% of the T cells that are generated in the thymus successfully finish their thymic education and leave to go into the rest of the organism, into the periphery. So the thymus has gone through a lot of trouble to generate and to select the T cells with the right specificity. And it's been a curious thing that after all that to generate these specific cells, that their survival is constantly at risk in the periphery, that even though they've been selected to be appropriate for that individual, they still have to constantly prove themselves by getting a T-cell receptor signal in the periphery as well as an interleukin-7 signal. And the reason why that has been so curious is because biochemically, each signal alone should have been sufficient to promote survival. And yet both signals are required. And what we've been trying to understand is how these two signals interact. And so what we've learned is that the two signals interact in a very specific way. It turns out that T cell receptor signals by themselves don't keep the cells alive in the periphery. And the interleukin-7 signals also don't keep the cells alive. In fact, what we had found in a previous report was that uninterrupted signaling through the interleukin-7 receptor actually is toxic to the cells and causes the cells to die, and that the function of the T-cell receptor is to interrupt the signaling through the interleukin-7 receptor to prevent it from becoming toxic. And the problem has been, well, how does the T-cell receptor interrupt signaling by the interleukin-7 receptor in order to keep the cells alive? And that's what this study addresses. What is the molecular basis for interruption by the T-cell receptor of signaling by the interleukin-7 receptor to keep these cells alive?
Before we move on to the mechanism of how T-cell receptor signaling interrupts interleukin-7 receptor signaling, I'm curious to know how interleukin-7 receptor signaling kills T-cells. Why is it toxic?
The reason why persistent IL-7 receptor signaling is toxic to T cells is because continuous signaling leads to the activation of T cells to secrete interferon gamma. And it's the interferon gamma that's produced by T cells that then is toxic and kills the individual T cells. So the system is set up so that it is dependent on IL-7 receptor signaling to promote survival, but not too much IL-7 receptor signaling, which then leads to the production of these toxic factors that kill the T cells.
How often and for what sort of duration does interleukin-7 receptor signaling need to be interrupted by T cell receptor signaling to keep those T cells alive?
So that's actually not an easy question to answer. It looks to be on the order of several hours that the interleukin-7 receptor signaling seems to be interrupted before it starts to become toxic.
So, Gil, you and Leonid did the experiments that are described in this paper. How does T cell receptor signaling inhibit IL-7 receptor signaling?
What we have found is that TCR signaling reduces the cellular content of Janus kinase 1, also known as JAK1. And JAK1 is one of the two kinases that are required to propagate IL-7 signaling. So what the TCR is doing is inhibiting the translation as well as transcription of JAK1 protein. And we found that JAK1 protein has a short half-life of about 1.5 hours, so it requires continuous protein synthesis to keep its level sufficient for IL-7 signaling. If the TCR is now reducing the cellular content by inhibiting, for example, the translation of JAK1, then the cellular content will be reduced over time until it gets to a point where the IL-7 signaling is impaired. At least for acute TCR signaling, the effect is much more related to inhibiting protein synthesis than is it to reducing the JAK1 mRNA level. The mRNA reduction, that is microRNA independent, it's not contributing much in the time frame that we checked, but we think that with longer time periods, the reduction in mRNA of JAK1 will also contribute to the reduction overall in protein level of JAK1.
And so how does T-cell receptor signaling inhibit the production of JAK? Leonid?
So microRNAs in sequence-specific manner can inhibit protein synthesis of target mRNAs. T-cells which lack all microRNAs fail to downregulate protein level of JAK1 upon TCR signaling in T-cells. So this experiment suggests that some microRNAs are involved in regulation of JAK1 stability. What we did, we looked at the microRNAs which can be induced upon TCR signaling in T-cells. And one of the best candidates we found was microRNA miR-17. And indeed, when we looked at microRNA miR-17, we found that it's not only upregulated upon TCR signaling in T cells, but it also can bound 3' UTR region of mRNA of JAK1 and successfully inhibit protein synthesis from this mRNA.
If T cell receptor signaling is constant in the T cells, then wouldn't that mean that it's constantly producing miR-17 and thus constantly downregulating interleukin-7 receptor signaling? How does that translate into a periodic interruption of IL-7 receptor signaling?
The expression of miR-17 timing and duration depends on three factors. First, of course, strength and the duration of TCR signaling. Second is a time which is needed for biogenesis of miR-17. And third is a half-life of microRNA-17. Duration of TCR signaling and strength of TCR signaling is probably the most important factor. Second is a biogenesis. Like any other gene, microRNA-17 gene is expressed in the nucleus like a long single-stranded precursor, which needs to be processed by two endonucleases, drosha in the nucleus and dicer in the cytoplasm in order to generate mature double-stranded microRNAs. So that takes time. And the third factor is microRNA miR-17 stability, which is absolutely unknown, and that would be very interesting to address in the future.
Are there natural fluctuations in the amount of T-cell receptor signaling that the T-cells experience so that that would then lead to this sort of periodic inhibition of miR-17 production?
The answer is yes.
Al Singer.
The T-cell receptor signals when it engages its ligand. And its ability to engage its ligand doesn't continue forever. It engages and disengages its ligand. So the consequences of IL-7 signaling is the IL-7 signaling alters the expression on the surface of the co-receptors that promote the ability of the T-cell receptor to engage its ligand. So the T-cell receptor can engage its ligand, and then it's constantly moving in the animal, so it moves away from its ligand, and the signaling then stops. So the T-cell receptor part of the equation is also intermittent. So its signaling is not constant, but is also intermittent. And the interleukin-7 signal, consequently, is intermittently interrupted when the T-cell receptor is actually actively signaling.
Interruption of interleukin-7 receptor signaling is important for T-cell survival. What happens when T-cells don't have miR-17? Do all of the T-cells just die?
So miR-17 knockout has not been generated yet.
Leonid Popozinski.
So we don't know the answer to this question. However, T-cells which lack all microRNAs have multiple abnormalities in the periphery and in the thymus. They have problems with survival, with proliferation, and with differentiation as well.
Did you do your experiments in T-cells taken out of mice, or were they human T-cells?
We did these experiments with mice, T-cells.
Gil Katz.
We did some of these in vitro, but we also looked at an in vivo chronic T-cell receptor signaling model, and we also found similar results in these mice in vivo.
Do human T-cells have the same sort of requirement for both T-cell receptor and interleukin-7 receptor signaling for survival?
We did not look at human T-cells, but based on the literature and based on other similarities between human T-cells and mouse T-cells, it is likely that the mechanism that we have found in the paper is also true in human T-cells. So human T-cells also express the IL-7 receptor alpha. They're using the same enzymes to propagate the signal through the IL-7 receptor alpha, JAK1 and JAK3. The miR-17 in human and mouse is basically identical, and the human sequences of the JAK1 and the mouse JAK1 3' UTR are also identical. So I would think that this mechanism is also applying for human T-cells.
Al, Gil, and Leonid, thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to speak about the paper.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
That was Al Singer, Gil Katz, and Leonid Popozinski discussing a paper published in the August 26th issue of Science Signaling by Katz and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.